people back from school. We have people back from vacation. We have people back from the sun and family visiting. So welcome, everybody. Good to have you here. Let me just remind you that this evening we have our Christmas Eve service beginning at 6:30, candlelight service with carol singing and readings. And that's always a very wonderful time. So I hope that you'll all be able to return. Let me express thanks to everybody who was involved in planning and preparing, leading last week's great festive celebration, children's presentation, and our luncheon that we had together. Again, it was a wonderful time, and I know a lot of people put a lot of effort, a lot of work into getting that ready for us, so thank you to all of you. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to look into God's Word. So bow with me, please. Father God, we thank you for your great love for us, expressed specifically through the sending of Jesus into this world. And we thank you that we are able to set aside special weeks to focus upon who you are and what you have done in and through Jesus. And we are deeply grateful. And we thank you for these days of celebration and remembrance. And I would pray, as has already been prayed this morning, for those who struggle during this season, who face discouragement or who grieve, that you would bring to them a fresh sense of peace and hope and a reminder that you love them. We thank you for the very many ministries that take place within our church. We thank you for the children's ministries, and I would pray for your blessing upon the Sunday school program, for the students and for the teachers. And I ask now that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in your sight. This I pray for the honor and the glory of Jesus. Amen. Can I have you turn, please, to the Gospel of John? And in just a moment, I'm going to read from there. Bobby Orr. He's probably, if not the, he is one of the greatest hockey players of all time. And he said that he grew up during a better time. Now, what did he mean by that? That he grew up during a better time? Well, let me quote. He said, "We played at the school rink and on the bay and on the river. We'd leave home in the morning, and your mother would say, 'Be home by dark.' We played all day, and those are my happiest memories of the game. We'll never see that again." Well, the National Post newspaper claims that Bobby Orr is quite right in his comments. There was a story published last year, and it was reporting on the quote-unquote safety-minded bureaucrats who are putting an end to an apparently, quote-unquote, dangerous activity. What's that dangerous activity? It's pickup games on homemade hockey rinks. In Ontario, a family faced a possible fine of $25,000 for putting a homemade rink in their front yard. A community near Calgary tried to create and fully insure a local ice pond hockey league, but the town council intervened, citing liability issues. Then in North Edmonton, a mother of three was shoveling the pond behind her home when the local authorities slapped her with a $100 fine. What was her crime? Modifying, quote, "the land in a way likely to cause injury." The mom said, "There were no boards, no lights, there wasn't even a net. I grew up where you shoveled off a rink and all the kids just came. They brought their sticks, they brought their gloves, and a good old hockey game broke out. Now you can't even shovel off a rink?" Well, some of you, along with me, may well remember those good old days of pickup hockey. But now, one of our favorite pastimes is deemed too risky. And my response is, bah, humbug. It was great fun living at risk. And I believe that we have a great exemplar who lived at risk. And I believe that we should copy him. Living at risk means engaging in activities where there exists the possibility of suffering danger, harm, loss, or disappointment. Shall I say that again? Living at risk means engaging in activities where there exists the possibility of suffering danger, harm, loss, or disappointment. Now, Ray Bradbury once said, living at risk is jumping off the cliff and building your wings on the way down. The theme of this fourth Sunday of Advent is love. And I want to focus on our exemplar, God. God living at risk by loving us. And looking to our great exemplar, I want to challenge us to follow his example and also live at risk by loving others. The ultimate example of God living at risk is contained in one of the most well-known verses in the Bible, John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. This is living at risk. Loving so much that you give your Son to the people of the world. But will they accept him? Will they receive the Son? Will they love or hate him? Will they follow or reject him? Will they believe in or deny him? Will they exalt or crucify him? God's love and his actions are full of risk, but he took the risk. Now, John, in his first letter, chapter 4, twice declares that God is love. The reason God so loved the world and gave is because he is love. The very essence of God himself is love. All that God is and all that God does is love. It is love at its finest, at its greatest, at its most profound, and it is risky. Now, the testimony of John chapter 1, verses 1 to 11, highlight the risk. So hopefully you have found John chapter 1 and follow along as I read. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. God sent his Son. The Son came as the Creator and as the light, and the darkness, according to verse 5, did not understand. His own did not receive him, according to verse 11. Living at risk and loving goes unrewarded. Now, does such rejection warrant such loving risk? Do the son's ensuing betrayal, trial, torture, and crucifixion warrant such loving risk? Well, according to John verse 12 here, it certainly does. Look at verse 12. He says, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says, God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God loved the people of the world so much that he gave his one and only Son to die on the cross, to pay the penalty for our sins, and make a path to forgiveness and reconciliation, friendship and kinship with God. Now, no matter what view you have of yourself, be it high or low, no matter what view others have of you, be it high or low, God risked his Son because he extravagantly loves you. For God so loved you. For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son into the world. In the hustle, in the bustle of the Advent season, I hope you have not missed out on the marvel of Jesus coming into the world, being born a baby, growing to be a man, and going to Golgotha to die on a cross so that we could be saved from our sins, saved from our failures, saved from our pride, saved from ourselves. God so loved that he sent Jesus into this world. There was a woman who was doing her last minute Christmas shopping. As usual, the malls were exceedingly crowded, and she was tired. She was tired of battling the crowds. She was tired of standing in lines. She was tired of fighting her way down long aisles, looking for a gift that had sold out days before. The woman's arms were full of bulky packages when the elevator door finally opened, and it was full. The occupants of the elevator grudgingly tightened ranks to allow a small space for her and her load. And as the doors were closing, she blurted out in frustration, "Whoever is responsible for this whole Christmas thing ought to be arrested, strung up, and shot." And a few others nodded their heads or grunted in agreement. And then, from somewhere back in the elevator, came out this single voice which said, "Ma'am, don't worry. They already crucified him." In Titus 3, verses 3 to 5, we read, "At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy." John in 1 John 3, verse 1 marvels, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. It was a risky move. But God was living at risk because He loves us, and loving is always risky. Now, just as God was living at risk, so too must we, who have experienced His lavish love, be living at risk. And living at risk means loving others. When we love others, we are living at risk because there is always the possibility of suffering, danger, harm, loss, rejection, or disappointment in response to our love. Now, Jesus explained in His Sermon on the Mount that to love is exceptionally demanding. Would you turn to Matthew chapter 5, where we see this? Matthew chapter 5, starting at verse 43. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. To be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect means living at risk and loving others, loving even your enemies, even those who hate you. Living at risk by loving others involves deep devotion. Romans 12:10, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. That's living at risk, being devoted, loving others above yourself. It involves deep devotion. Living at risk by loving others involves increasing intensity and frequency. For example, Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2 says, may the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. Living at risk by loving others means imitating Jesus. John 15, verse 12, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. John 13, verse 34 and 35, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By all this, men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Loving is risky. It involves deep devotion. It involves increasing intensity and frequency. It involves imitating Jesus. Living at risk by loving others also involves making significant sacrifices, maybe even the ultimate sacrifice. John 15, verse 13, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Living at risk by loving others also involves being vulnerable. Jesus says in Luke chapter 6, verse 27 to 30, "But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back." Now, isn't that risky? That kind of love is risky. Being vulnerable. In his book, The Four Loves, C.S. Lewis writes, "To love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything, and your heart will be wrung and possibly broken. If you want to be sure of keeping your heart intact, you must give your heart to no one, not even an animal. Wrap it up carefully around the hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safely in the casket of your selfishness. And in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will not change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, and irredeemable. The only place outside of heaven where you can be perfectly safe from the dangers of love is hell." You see, to love at all is to be vulnerable. The only place outside of heaven where you can be perfectly safe from the dangers of love is hell. Now, I know that you prefer heaven over hell. Thus, you will choose living at risk, and you will love others, and you will be vulnerable to having your heart wrung. You will be vulnerable to danger, harm, loss, rejection, or disappointment. You will choose living at risk in response to God living at risk. Because you prefer heaven, you will choose to imitate Jesus, and you will love others. And so this morning I want to say to you, grab your hockey stick, lace up your boots or your skates, and get out on that homemade rink and play some shinny. Enjoy living at risk. And to the point of this sermon, risk loving others. I want to encourage you to decide on one specific response today. What does living at risk by loving others mean for you? What are the implications? Who specifically will you love by offering some words of appreciation and encouragement? Who's that person? Who will be the recipient of one of your simple acts of kindness or benevolence? Who will be the recipient of your forgiveness To which family member or to which friend will you go and seek reconciliation? Who will you apologize to for the wrong or unkind words that you have spoken? Who's that person? Which grudge will you release, and which person who hurt you this week or maybe many years ago, who will you forgive? Who's that person you will forgive? Whose practical or material needs will you meet? Whose reputation will you defend, or whose integrity will you uphold, even if you disagree with that person? Who will you feed or clothe or care for? Who's that person? Living at risk will not be easy. It certainly will not be safe. You will expose yourself to possible harm and suffering and loss and maybe rejection, maybe disappointment. But you are called to live at risk by loving others. Living at risk will not be safe. It will not be easy. But living at risk will be the best response to God, who loved you so much that he risked giving Jesus to you. So grab your hockey stick. Get out and live at risk. Do something specific this week to show your love for another person. Let's think on these things as we go to prayer. Precious Holy Spirit, continue to speak to us and encourage us and challenge us to live at risk by loving others. Help us to respond to the Father's love demonstrated in sending Jesus. Help us to respond to Jesus' love, who willingly went to the cross in our place. Help us to respond to your commands that we love one another, and also that we love our enemies. Help us to this end, I pray. In the name of Jesus, amen. Let's stand together and sing the doxology.